KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a clear to partly cloudy sky at 76 degrees. It'll be partly cloudy, hot and humid once again today with a high around 95 and a heat index as high as 102. There is just a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms this morning, but most of those look off to be off to our east. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. The Iowa Department of Transportation is conducting a study of Interstate 80, and they'd like to have your input. The study will be developed and released through a series of technical reports that identify the existing conditions of I-80, the way the system is performing, short and long-term issues, and strategies to improve the route. Each report will be accessible online as it becomes available on the DOT's I-80 Planning Study website, the link to which is under the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. The DOT wants to inform you that the two technical reports were recently updated on the I-80 website to include guiding principles and evaluation of overhead structures, and they're asking any interested parties to take a few minutes and review the technical reports and other materials on the I-80 Planning Study website. If you comment on the technical reports, you can go to the link again under the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. Iowa Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds will be making stops in the KJAN listening area this coming week. On Tuesday, Reynolds will be in Guthrie Center beginning at 10:30 for a tour of Guthrie Center Main Street. At noon, she'll be in Adair to try the 2016 Best Burger in Iowa at the Chuck Wagon Restaurant. Afterward, the Lieutenant Governor travels to Winterset for a visit to Angel Wings and Country Things at 2 p.m. Tuesday. And then on Thursday, she'll be in Ottawa, where Reynolds will meet with officials at the Western Iowa Power Cooperative beginning at 1:15. Governor Terry Branstad says he's open to making changes in the state's income taxes next year.
But I haven't formalized any plans yet, and I want to visit with legislators to see what's the art of the possible.
Branstad says he might support ending a controversial tax break that makes Iowa's income tax rates look higher than they actually are. Two decades ago, Branstad unsuccessfully proposed getting rid of that tax credit. It gives Iowans the ability to subtract what they paid in federal income taxes from their state tax bill.
That was back when Iowans for Tax Relief really led the charge to keep that. The circumstances may have changed somewhat.
The lobbying group's influence in the State House has faded in the past several years, and the founder of Iowans for Tax Relief died last fall. Another group called the Iowa Taxpayers Association released a study last month making proposals to simplify the state's income taxes, and getting rid of what's called federal deductibility tax break was at the top of the list. Branstad says Iowa is one of the few states that offer that deduction, and it's an impediment, he says, when trying to lure business to relocate or expand in Iowa.
They look at what is the high marginal rate, and they don't take into consideration the federal deductibility. So our effective rate is much lower than that marginal rate, and that hurts a perception of Iowa. Now, a lot of Iowans understand that because they are familiar with the Iowa tax, but a lot of companies from the outside just looking at it don't realize that.
While Branstad says this is a problem, he's not yet ready to call for eliminating his tax break or this tax break unless he's sure a majority of legislators would vote to take that step.
I'm not one to tilt windmills. I want to do things that I think can be accomplished. And sometimes it takes more than 1 year to accomplish significant things.
He made his comments during a taping of the Iowa Press Program, which will air on Sunday on Iowa Public Television. Iowa corn growers could face higher input costs if a federal agency moves forward with efforts to strictly limit the use of a popular pesticide. An EPA report on atrazine shows the agency has concerns with the chemical's impact on birds, mammals, and fish. Scott Merritt, a spokesman for the agriculture industry's Triazine Network, says growers know how to follow the guidelines on atrazine carefully.
We think the label is sufficient the way it is. You can't use it around water. There is setbacks in the application of it, have been for a decade, and we think those are very reasonable.
The EPA suggests farmers should only be allowed to use 8 ounces of the chemical per acre when they typically will use 2 pounds for that much ground. Merritt says the proposed change could be a financial detriment to Iowa growers.
It could increase by having to change products or limitations on his application, or just his ability to grow a crop and not compete with weeds. We're seeing numbers almost up to $60 an acre would be the added cost to a farmer.
Environmental groups, including the Natural Resources Defense Council, have spent years urging the EPA to ban the use of atrazine. A public comment period is open until August the 5th. Well, police say a drunk driver is to blame for a deadly crash in central Iowa that took place Friday morning. A Boone man is facing charges that include vehicular homicide and third offense OWI following the crash on Interstate 35. Police say 45-year-old William Phipps was driving a pickup that slammed into the back of the car in the southbound lanes of I-35 near Ankeny at around 6:20 a.m. Friday. A passenger in the car, 30-year-old Alexander Koch of Ankeny, died at the scene while the driver of the car was injured. Police say Phipps ran from the scene but was captured by officers about a half mile away. Because of his record, Phipps was barred from driving. A former Iowa State Patrol sergeant has been charged with repeatedly stealing prescription pills that were being stored as evidence. Michael Haugen was charged Friday with falsifying a public document and third-degree theft. Investigators say Haugen removed pills from evidence bags from the patrol's storage room in Mason City between late 2014 and this spring. An investigation found he stole about 150 prescription pills with a street value of $800. The pills had been seized from suspects and were to be tested and potentially used in court proceedings. Up to six cases may be affected. Haugen said in a resignation letter Monday that he became addicted to opioids in recent years while battling painful medical conditions in his intestines. The patrol had moved to terminate Haugen's employment for misconduct. A former Muscatine police officer has been convicted of sexually assaulting an intoxicated woman while he was on duty more than 3 years ago. A jury deliberated for just over an hour Thursday before finding 49-year-old Thomas Tovar guilty of sexual abuse. His sentencing is set for July 26th. Prosecutors say Tovar sexually assaulted the woman in her hotel room on February 16, 2013, where he took her after arresting her boyfriend on suspicion of driving while intoxicated. Tovar later said the sex was consensual. Last August, the Iowa Appeals Court ruled Tovar couldn't offer testimony at trial that the woman had sex with her boyfriend at the hotel after he was released from jail. The court said that testimony wouldn't be relevant. The Marriott Hotel in Bettendorf will get another chance to defend itself against a lawsuit filed by a hotel guest who was awarded $1.2 million by a jury after she slipped on an icy sidewalk in January of 2010 and broke her ankle. The lawsuit was filed by Brenda Alcala, a software consultant from Texas who was on a business trip to Bettendorf. She filed suit in 2012 alleging Marriott negligently caused her injuries by allowing ice to accumulate on the sidewalks. A jury ruled in her favor in February of 2014. The company appealed. The Iowa Supreme Court, in ordering a new trial, said Friday that the trial judge had mistakenly let the jury consider, without hearing evidence, whether the hotel was negligent by failing to properly train employees on sidewalk ice removal. The Cedar Falls Fraternal Order of Eagles is offering $1,000 for information leading to the arrest of the person responsible for vandalizing the Blackhawk County Freedom Rock Memorial. The 175-member nonprofit group said Friday would donate the money for information that leads to an arrest and conviction in the case. The rock, located near Veterans Park in Cedar Falls, was spray-painted during the Memorial Day weekend. Crews were able to remove the paint since the rock has a protective coating to prevent permanent damage. A Cedar Rapids man convicted of involuntary manslaughter and child endangerment after his 17-month-old daughter died in March of 2010 is getting a new trial. The Iowa Supreme Court says Zariah Schlitter's defense attorney failed to seek dismissal of a child endangerment charge, which included the allegation that Schlitter had used intentional force that resulted in bodily injury. The justices said the evidence does not reasonably support a finding either that Schlitter committed the violent acts or that he had sole care of the child when her injuries were sustained. He can be retried on the charge, but the jury may not consider whether he was directly responsible for injuring his daughter. Schlitter's girlfriend, Amy Palmer, was convicted in 2014 of child endangerment resulting in death and involuntary manslaughter. And the Polk County Sheriff's Office is investigating the death of a 50-year-old inmate. Officials said Friday that Linda Spencer of Des Moines was found unconscious Thursday afternoon in the Polk County Jail. Jail staff and medical workers performed life-saving measures and were able to revive Spencer, but she later died at a hospital. Spencer had been booked into the jail Thursday morning after she was sentenced to serve 29 days in jail for possession of methamphetamine. The Iowa DCI will help with that investigation. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.